Good afternoon. Today is Monday, February the 16th, 47th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon on his day off?
Kind of, yeah.
Are you taking President's Day?
I am, actually, yes.
There we go.
I will not be in the office today.
So we are recording not today for playback today because he's not here today. Neither am I, by the way.
There you go.
There we go. So this afternoon we're going to talk about banking in the marijuana industry.
The challenges thereof.
Or banking the marijuana industry. Yeah. It can go both ways. So we'll talk about some of those things that haven't been clarified and probably won't be for another 15, 20 years when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Hey, you even got one with pictures on it.
Such a deal. Aren't we lucky?
Wow. How'd you do that? You are beyond good. Of course, it's an old black and white.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay. Well. Mae West was the author of this quote. You only live once, but if you do it right...
Once is enough.
There you go. See? Teamwork. Sort of. Sort of. John, when you gave me the quote, you had made our topic for this show, you kind of seen me start to smile. And I was going through my head the different definitions. Banking the marijuana industry. Okay. Part of that is the growers coming to the bank and now not having to be fiction writers and say, this is what I want it for. This is how I want to use it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Is there any law now prohibiting a financially or a federally insured entity like a bank from lending for illegal purposes?
Absolutely.
Okay. Federal.
Federal.
Okay. So when the state legalizes it and the feds don't, does that change anything?
Let me lay out the landscape.
Now we're landscaping too with our marijuana farmers. Okay.
So we're talking about California. Now things have changed in Colorado, in Washington, Oregon. I think there's another state that I'm missing, but those are the ones.
Or will be in Oregon, yeah. Huh? It's July 15th.
Something like that. Yeah. So what you have is marijuana. The possession of marijuana is a felony on the federal front. Of course, then it's illegal to sell it, to use it, transport it across borders, and so forth. In California, we have the 215 or the medicinal marijuana laws that allow if you have a 215 card, which is the proposition number, if I understand it correctly. That you can then possess a certain amount of marijuana for personal use, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think anybody would dispute the fact that probably 90% of all the 215 usage is for recreational purposes and not for medicinal, but there we are.
I have fun with my medicine, right. Don't you?
You know, the first question that came to us is, why won't you bank the clinics? Okay. Well, the federal government has a banking regulation called BSA, Bank Secrecy Act, that is very, very, it's a very open-ended regulation. It means it's not well-defined. So there's a lot of gray areas, which also means that there's an infinite amount of detail that we have to provide because no matter what you do, they want you to do more because it's not well-defined. At the same time, it's very, very clear that banking, anything having to do with an illegal drug, if we know that that's the proceeds are coming from, then we're participating in money laundering. So it is, even though 215 says that this is a legal activity from the state perspective, it is illegal from a federal perspective, and therefore we can't bank that industry.
By banking, what do you mean?
That means we can't take deposits and we can't make loans. But other than that, it's fine.
So in these murky areas, such as states' rights versus federal rights, because you're federally insured, are you federally chartered? And is that also another compounding element?
Well, for us, we're chartered by the state, but we do have FDIC insurance. Therefore, we're monitored by the feds also. So we get regulated by both the state and the federal government. Now, with that said, the issue is not whether we're chartered federally or by the state. The issue is federal law trumps state law, therefore it is illegal.
So let's say the board of directors determines that there is enough potential here that they want the bank to be state.
It doesn't matter.
And don't worry about the federal insurance. We don't want anything federal at all. We're going to go state only. Do you have that option?
One, do you have that option? No.
Short two, conversation there.
Yeah. Two, well, I mean, we could change from the FDIC to the Federal Reserve Board as our primary regulator, but it's still
federal.
So, but the bottom line is this. Even if we didn't, if we could be solely state chartered, we'd still have to abide by federal law. Now, with that said,
there's a commercial break.
Okay, we'll wait. I've got more to say.
I bet you do. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the Bank Dude. You're federally regulated whether you want to be or not because of the industry that you're in. End of story. Are credit unions under the same? Or is this an area where credit unions might be able to step in and fill a gap that banks just are not able to participate in?
The Bank Secrecy Act applies to all financial institutions, including credit unions, Thrifts, et cetera, et cetera.
So it's mislabeled?
Yes.
Okay.
So, but there is another caveat, and that is outcomes, a guidance from the U.S. Department of Justice. That guidance is not signed by Eric Holder. It's signed by somebody else further down the line. And the guidance basically says this, that banks, if it's legal state by the state, can bank the marijuana industry, and they probably may not prosecute you.
Is that a direct? Probably may not?
Probably may not. That was the legal interpretation I got from an attorney as to what it says. So to bank...
So now it's a risk management issue.
Well, exactly. And do you want to risk not only the bank, but your own freedom? Because if I were to make that decision, I would potentially go to jail for it. By the way, I'm jail adverse.
It's just kind of an ugly picture.
Yeah, there's
thinking
a lot
here.
Of things that don't work there.
Yeah. So what the feds are saying, roll the dice?
Pretty much.
Now, are there banks in Colorado or in Washington that have stepped up under that interpretation?
Now, Washington's and Colorado have one step ahead of us, and that is they're not just medicinal. They are legal for recreational use.
But from a federal perspective, I would think it's comparable.
It doesn't change anything.
Right.
It doesn't change anything on the federal level. So the we have been told that there's 203 banks in Washington, I believe, that supposedly will, to some degree, bank the marijuana industry. We are looking for some of those to talk to them just to find out what, you know, how they justified this, what they're doing, and so forth. But
it's tough to get them to answer the phone these days, isn't it?
They're, they're always out for lunch. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know why. So, but we are looking for the list of those banks that do, just so that we can find out, you know, how they're doing it, why they're doing it, what restrictions are taking place. But
I would think that would be a road trip. I mean, you would really want to see the systems that are in place. Simple things. Increased security. You know, if somebody comes in, they got $100,000 in cash. I would think you would want to treat them differently than somebody coming in and making their piggy bank deposit or taking out $100.
Well, hopefully most of the stuff will be then done electronically rather than by currency. I mean, if it was federally legalized today, you could go buy marijuana with your credit card. Everything would be done electronically.
That's interesting. I wonder if it is. I bet you it's still a cash-based business.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if it ever happens. I would think at some point in time it's going to get legalized on a federal level, but I...
So do you want to get in front of the curve? I wouldn't think that, you know, most bankers probably are risk avoidant.
Correct.
Rather than getting out there. But if there's over 200 financial institutions in Washington already doing it, sounds like somebody's probably already taken a couple of arrows.
Yeah, there could be, you know, 200 financial institutions in Washington that are doing it, but in a 5 years from now, there might be 200 bankers in prison.
Yeah. So. Well, so in a situation like this, how long do you wait?
Well, that's the million.
Before you play.
That's the multi-billion dollar question. Is if you wait too long, you might be on the wrong side of the curve. If you're too early, you might end up in jail. So I think we're going to take a very conservative stance on it, but we're going to be...
Since it is your name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we'll also try and keep as informed as we can. And so,
are there any other parallel scenarios that you've run into in the 10 plus years?
Well, it even goes beyond just banking the marijuana industry. It's banking, there's challenges for ancillary businesses. For instance, you know, if they're selling, you know, fertilizer or anything that might be considered to the marijuana industry.
I know at least of two industry product specific. We're number one in the country in Humboldt County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sure whoever banks with people who are selling turkey bags, you're right up there. And it wouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if anybody's buying a case of turkey bags, you know what's going down. It's not that they're that friendly and that popular with their neighbors,
or they have a really big Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah, they help out Betty the whole time. So, I mean, PVC, people who sell that, you know, somebody comes in, they purchase a mile of PVC. Okay, that's not for the front yard. Well, hopefully. So you could do that, and you're not going to have to go too deep right now.
The issue isn't what they sell. The issue is it a legitimate business? And so let me back up. So BSA now holds banks responsible that if a business opens up, that they're not money laundering.
So Brian's Hardware Store,
and you start bringing in a lot of cash.
And a lot of PVC is going out.
I might literally have to send somebody down to sit in the parking lot to see people that go in and come out with bags of merchandise. Are you really selling merchandise?
Okay, if there's transactions going on and you see the numbers equate, you're okay.
But point is, I'm now the police force. I am now responsible for knowing that. And that's the challenge with the bank secrecy.
What about hydroponics?
What about it? Same thing.
But more narrow. And certainly, you're not going to tend to see the foot traffic there that you do at the neighborhood hardware store.
It's the same thing. We're responsible to know that people are actually buying the goods. So it's not so much that they're selling to the marijuana industry.
And it's not the customer base. It's just, is there a customer base?
It's not a money laundering business. And what I mean by that is I can open a storefront, not sell any goods, and bring in my deposits every day and have them go into the system. But they're really not proceeds from the merchandise I sold.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with a bank dude from Redwood Capital Bank, John Dalby. Not in marijuana lending.
No, not yet. Not doing that.
Not yet.
Yet.
Or what about your personal morals? Not, I don't care what your personal morals are, but let's say the bank's board, a bank's board, says no, we're not. Okay, now you don't have to worry about going to jail for that purpose, but can you get nailed for restraint of trade?
So can we discriminate is what you're really asking.
Yeah.
Based on moral issues.
Stated or otherwise.
To a limited degree, you can. Now, generally in businesses that have... on the lower end of the moral scale, generally are of greater risk, but not always. And so, yeah, you do tread on some challenging ground.
You have some flexibility.
Right.
Let's pull it out of the marijuana industry and move into the prostitution industry. Okay, Nevada's got it legal, well established. What are the banks' requirements in Nevada? Do they have to go through this same process?
You know, the first question would be, is it federally illegal?
I think it is, isn't it?
I don't know. So, let's look at...
Damien, you want to look that one up? Is prostitution... Now, somebody just tuning in is going to hear this. Is prostitution federally illegal?
Is it against federal law? Yeah. So if it's against the federal law, the same thing would be true of prostitution as it is of banking the marijuana industry or any illegal activity. Now, if it's not, if it's strictly up to... Prostitution is strictly up to the states, which I would assume is the case because it is legal in some parts of Nevada, that tells me it's not a federally illegal, but you know, I don't know. But then there would be
no... Go ahead, weigh in, big boy.
So we're looking at
it. It says here, prostitution is illegal in the United States with the exception of 11 Nevada counties.
Okay.
There you go.
So there's a parallel. That's all I was
looking for. So in those 11 counties, if you chose to bank them, you could.
So those folks would have to be, you know, somebody's banking them.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that they would have that kind of cash sitting around on a regular basis.
But currently the clinics all have to deal in, the marijuana clinics here in California pretty much all have to deal in pure currency.
Cash, and Correct. That's it.
And so that creates another set of challenges for them, but that's the reality of it. Until the federal comes out and says it is legal, that's the way it's going to be.
When dealing with cash, regardless of its source, you guys have got some stipulations in how you can handle and how much you can handle and all that kind of stuff, don't you?
Well, certainly there are, again, back to the same laws that monitor the potential for money laundering. And so, yes, there are certain procedures that we have to go through and notifications that we have to make with large cash transactions.
Let's say I'm the Olsons and we got the racetrack going. I would imagine 90% of all their stuff was cash. Because you could say, racetrack, cash, that one would sail through without any kind of hesitation because it's that obvious.
We would have to follow the appropriate protocol, and certainly there are legitimate reasons for people to have currency. And I'm going to call it currency as opposed to cash. So if you have a business
checks
that...
Checks and money?
No, just currency would be... Okay. You know, checks are is not an issue. It's the actual currency. So if somebody came in and they were depositing a large amount of currency, they may have fully legitimate reasons to do that, in that it's not an illegal activity. Okay. We still have to follow the same protocol.
Which would be you asking me?
Well, I don't want to really talk about the protocol because
that's not a standard thing
to do. Right.
Oh,
it is
okay.
Standard across all institutions what right. we're required to do. But at the same time, if you make it public, then people can try and get around it. So I don't want to.
You have that kind of faith in our audience? Okay. Well, I'll just have to reflect on that one for a while.
I think they're pretty well known. I just prefer not to put them out on the air. But if you're operating a legitimate business, we have a lot of businesses that
I would think
especially because there is so much marijuana industry in our community, our businesses typically handle a lot more currency than others.
Yeah, and have funny residue, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of stinky money out there.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:41. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. John, one of the questions I had, you know, is we've kind of been talking around and talking about marijuana and the influence in business, whether it's direct or whether it's secondary or the laundry. I don't think that, as you said, your comment about medicinal marijuana and recreational use grown by 215 cards. We have an inordinate amount of restaurants in our area that seem to be qualifying for that profile of laundering or legitimizing cash. Why don't we have the gendarmes in their three-piece suits out looking at all the various restaurants and seeing, does it make sense? I mean, we could have the city manager sitting in here. We could have the cops sitting in here. Go, nah, it doesn't make any sense. It's there now. Is it because it's kind of behind that it makes it more challenging or less necessary?
I think it's much like the reason there are so many mountaintops throughout Humboldt County that somebody's taken a bulldozer, scraped them off illegally or without permits, using rodenticides, stealing water from rivers and streams, and nobody's getting in trouble for it, is because it's there's so much of it that it would be very, very difficult to do. But what you're talking about is, again, a storefront or a restaurant or something that is a legitimate business that's being used to launder money. And the Bank Secrecy Act places that burden to some degree on the banks to monitor it.
Do you have an enforcement department?
No.
Didn't think so.
But we do have a monitoring department.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we do monitor.
So what are they? What are they? They're just looking for abnormal?
Generally, anything that's abnormal. You know, if all of a sudden, you know, a business that brings in $5,000 worth of cash currency every week, and that's normalized, all of a sudden they're bringing in, you know, $150,000 worth of cash every week, you know, red flags start to fly.
3 weeks.
But, yeah.
That's all I ask.
Yeah. So, exactly. So, yeah, there is certain monitoring that goes, and this is all banks. All banks, credit unions,
right,
responsible for the same thing.
Do the urban banks, if this happened in San Francisco, say that 550, would it trigger, or is there enough cash in those communities that it's not that abnormal?
In theory, it should be the same anywhere, whether it's rural, urban, Now we have there's also communities that are labeled high drug and high financial risk areas. And so then additional due diligence.
I got the pun.
Yeah. and so in, if you're in those specific areas, there is greater due diligence that's required.
And that's imposed by the feds?
Mm-hmm.
So they just do that based on criminal activity or their own thoughts? Or?
You know, I really don't know how they do it. They just tell us what you're in. And for years, we were in a high financial risk area, but not in a high drug use area. And those are not the technical terms for it. If my compliance officer was here, he'd be, you know,
laughing.
Reeling, exactly. How stupid you are. You don't know the name of them. But now we're both in Humboldt County. Surprise.
Yeah. And what an achievement it truly is.
Right. You know, and so, you know, really the reason that we're watching this so closely is because whether we like it or not, a big part of our economy is tied to the marijuana industry, and it's going to change things. Some say better, some say worse. If
the future certainly is going to be different, whatever
that is correct.
It is.
And I'm not making a moral judgment here, which good or bad. It's, you know, I'm trying to deal with the facts.
No, that would have been on the prostitution
discussion, exactly,
not on this, yeah. What? I missed the prostitution discussion?
So, we leave that to the radio stations.
Yeah. So you're doing your due diligence, your preliminary work at this point. Do you expect that there'll be a decision at the election, after the election, or are you going to wait a year before you guys move on?
I can't tell you what we're going to do. We're going to monitor what's happening in the industry, what's happening with legislation, and then make our decisions based on sound information. But we will not, you know, I cannot see, well, I would never advocate that we would violate the law. Federal or state.
With you on the line.
That's correct, yes.
Keep coming back to that one.
Yeah.
Are there, what happens if a bank or a financial institution has inordinately high, large, big amount of cash on hand consistently and does a lot of those transactions? Is that a red flag? Is that a potential issue?
Well, we have to. There are certain protocols that we have to do if we're handing out cash or we're taking it in, and so all of that would be accounted for.
Oh boy!
There are no easy answers.
No. I'm just thinking, to have gotten a major in bank report writing.
Oh gosh!
You wouldn't have many friends, but you'd have a job for life. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Pleasure to be here.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.